why we are human. When we fail, even the things we make also do fail us. We had wanted to have a 3 minutes video on the story, and then so that we can key in with what the pastor spoke on last week, and where I continue from this very week. We're in chapter 29 of the story. Now, let me ask this question for those that have been following the story and have been following the preachings. You've heard from Pastor Frank, and you also heard from Pastor Bob. Do you believe what you've been hearing? I didn't really hear. Yes. Please. Now, I am aware of the fact that I am in Canada. Now, come again?
You're growing in that awareness.
That's right. Thank you. Now, but please, let me get your response. Do you really believe in what you've been hearing?
Yes.
Is it a fable?
No.
Is it a story?
No. True story.
True story? But what does it mean to you? Information? Transformation? Or life? All of the above. But as the pastor mentioned last week, if just the knowledge will kill. But when the spirit of that word dwells in you, I want to tell you, your life will never remain the same. Paul the apostle was a man in mission. And as I tell the story, you will discover that it took God to change a mission from Judaism, fanatical Judaism, to a fanatical Christian. The Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain." In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I want to make a correction. I know that the portions we read in the morning somehow were mixed up. It's Galatians 2:20. He said, "I have been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now present continues, the life I now live in the body and the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." In other words, friends, there was an exchange of life. I no longer live. The person you see is no more controlled by the spirit that dwells, that is mine, but there's a different spirit that has occupied me. And whatever he says, do, I do. Where he says, go, I go. When he says, stand, I stand. When he says, sit, I sit. When it says speak, I speak. The same man said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone. I underline everyone. The Africans, the Chinese, the Indians, my Karen brethren, everyone, men and women, boys and girls, the educated and the uneducated, everyone is qualified. Whoever believes must not be ashamed. The Jews first, then the Gentiles. What led this man to make these statements? Let me briefly investigate the life of the Apostle Paul. I want to analyze. To investigate means to analyze or investigate is to conduct a detailed examination of the elements or structure of something, typically as a basis for discussion or interpretation. So let us briefly investigate what led the Apostle Paul to make, I'll repeat the scriptures again, the following statements. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live but by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. When you turn, time will not permit me, but I wouldn't mind sending you the full text of the scriptures of my message. The previous life of this man, we are told in Acts the Apostles chapter 9, that he was a man on a mission, but a mission he was heading out to destroy. He had already killed or masterminded the killing of a servant of God, Stephen. We are told in Acts chapter 9 that, in fact chapter 8, that the clothes of Stephen was placed on the feet of Paul the Apostle. In those days, according to the tradition, if somebody sends you out on a mission and you successfully carry out the mission, the evidence is what you bring back. So the evidence of what they brought back was, listen, we killed him. Here are his clothes. So we need our pay. Paul must have hired assassins to assassinate somebody that was on a mission. They did a successful job. In Acts chapter 9, we're told he was on his way to Damascus. He had already obtained a letter on his way to destroy many more Christians. In fact, to jail them and destroy them. Something happened to that man. Friends, I have briefly told my life story, but majority do not know where I came from. I was taught to kill. I was a trained Biafran soldier. And all we did as commandos was to use our hands to butcher people. Do you understand where I'm going? That you can use your hand to kill somebody without bringing out any blood, and they die immediately. I was trained to do that. So I get myself so high. Oh, you know, today the government of Canada, oh God, deliver this nation. I just made an approval of you to people to begin to have Indian hemp. Friends, the fellow that is standing before you, I could smoke whatever that is smokable. I used to be a chain smoker. Cigarettes, it's one of those little ones. When I got myself so high, I don't mind what happens. Who are you to stand before me? When I was growing up as a young fellow, next month, most of you will see my big brother, my elder brother. He used to be afraid of me. Nobody who grew up with me stands on my way. Who are you? When we move into the field to play and Paul is in the field, all my opponents, when I'm with the ball, don't come closer to me. When I move out on the streets, I used to command young people. Nobody crosses my path without going in for it. You don't, now I'm letting out something to you that you really don't know about me. I used to be like the Saul of Tarsus. I was very stubborn. My dad could not control me. It's always one problem after the other. Who are you, the teacher, to stop me? I will organize my boys to deal with you. Even when I was in the primary school. When sometimes you see me sit down there and I lift my hands up, friends, I had an encounter with this man called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He turned things around for me.
Amen.
He changed my life. He changed my life. Until my dad passed on, he never believed that I was a changed man, even when I entered the ministry. The Apostle Paul was heading out to Damascus to do the same thing when Jesus Christ stepped into his life. And it radically changed him. Not only that he was changed in his previous life, something happened. Something happened. He was transformed. He was transformed. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ came into his life. And on that day, he had a call. When I had a call, friends, I was already working with the customs in Nigeria. I was driving a car. So I went to my dad and I said, "Daddy, you know, I'm quitting my job. God has called me." He said, "What?" I said, "Yes, I'm quitting my job." He wouldn't understand me. I went to one of my uncle and I said, "Uncle, you know, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to answer the call." He looked at me. He said, "Are you gone nuts? You have a car that others do not have. You had a very good job. You're paid well. You want to quit? Then you can still preach. You can just go out and preach." Meanwhile, they've already heard before the Lord called me. There was no bus in Lagos that passes by. Brother Sylvester, my sister, my wife will know what I'm talking about. Every bus that you see, public bus transportation, we mobilize ourselves. We get into the buses, we give out tracts, and we start preaching in the buses. And we pray for people. People are healed in the public buses. And we still do that till tomorrow. There was a fire that was burning inside of us that couldn't stop us. We decided not to preach in the buses only. We go into the train to preach in the train. Some of us will buy tickets to enter the plane just to preach in the, you know, can you understand? People sitting up, you stand up and you say, "I greet you all in the name of Jesus." Who is doing that? I want to bring out good news about the gospel of Jesus Christ, who Jesus is, and you give a little testimony, and before you know it, in a public bus, you're making an altar call. In a plane, in a train, people are bowing down and they're receiving Jesus, and he's healing them.
Amen.
When the Spirit of Christ comes into your life, you will never remain the same. So when I said I was called of God, my officer, my senior officer in the customs would not believe me. I still remembered one day, this man, he was a chain smoker, and he knew I used to smoke. But when the Lord changed my life, one day he was smoking, and when he saw me coming, now he was my senior officer, he turned off the cigarette. But one day he couldn't hold it. He was writing on the table, and the cigarette was on his hands. He saw me coming out through the, as he saw, he hid his hands. And as he hid the hands, the cigarette started burning his fingers, and I could see him trying to turn it off. And I called him, Oga, that's my boss. I said, why not turn off that thing? That he said, my son, you know, that is true. And I said, you know, from today, you can stop smoking. He said, what do I do? I laid hands upon him. And I said, the spirit of smoking that has taken over this man, you know you're destroying the life of this man. He's already dying. I want life into him. And I call transformation power upon him right now. He shook. And that was the last day he smoked. He never smoked until I left that office. Friends, when Jesus comes into your life, those things that you used that were evil, they become foreigners to you. I can't even stand the smell of smoke today. Not that I hate people that smoke. Don't please understand me. But why should I go on killing myself when I know that's already in the, it's already written, this would kill you, be careful. Paul got a call, and things turned around for him. The same man said, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal bodies. Do you know what he's saying there? Do you really believe it?
Yeah.
If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Friend, his character will become your character. His work will become your work. His lifestyle will become your lifestyle. When he does miracles through you. He has never stopped and is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he says, I am the Lord, I do not change. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal body. If the spirit dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. If the spirit dwells in you, the question is he living in you? If not, today can be. This morning can be your own morning. God is still waiting for someone here this morning. The Spirit of God is still alive and well and want to change somebody's life. My friend, the call of God does not mean you have to be occupying the pulpit. The call of God can take you into a department where I cannot go and Pastor Frank cannot go. But become God's man in the place where you work. God's man in the school where you go. God's man in the business where you go. You become a man of God and a woman of God in the place where you are. Somebody in a motion, in a mission. Paul the apostle was a man in motion and a man in mission. The Spirit of Christ dwelled in him. We are told that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick. And their illness were cured and the evil spirits left them. Do you believe that? Hello?
Yes.
You see, some are doubting it. That's why I didn't hear that. Yes. Friends, I believe it. And we've seen it happen. Not me, but he who dwells in me. That you are standing up and you're seeing the man on a crippled chair standing up and walking. I said, what's happening? The blind is seeing, the deaf can hear, the dead can rise up. Does it still happen today? Hello?
Yes.
Brother Sylvester?
No, still
it's still happening.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it happen. There are stories we don't tell. Because sometimes we begin to tell the stories, people think we're putting them down or we're being proud. I'd rather you tell the stories and I rejoice with you because the Spirit of Christ dwells in you and it dwells in me. Not only the character of God inside of you, the nature of God inside of you. In other words, he who dwells in you is the one walking through you, who speaks through you, who transforms life through you, who brings men to himself. He said, if I am lifted up, I will pull men unto myself. Not you, not me. For in us lies no good things but him. Friends, this country needs the power of God in a new way. Church, the answer to Canada is not in the hands of the politicians, it's in the hands of the church.
Amen.
What the church say will happen to Canada is what will happen to Canada. But my heart bleeds. What is happening now in the Mennonite church? When we begin to quarrel and begin to drag issues that are not draggable, issues that were spelled out in the scriptures and somebody's going to use theology to theologize the word of God. I know what the Bible says when it comes to homosexuals. Will that split the church? No. Did Paul the apostle had conflicts? Oh yes, he did. He had conflicts. Paul the apostle had conflicts. But before I go into that, he says, the same Paul the apostle talks about when in the church he decided, you know, we need to treat one another equal. He told it to the Jews and he told it to his brethren. He argued that the Gentiles didn't need to become Jews in order to be saved. He argued that Gentiles be left to be themselves and accepted as they are. Do not make them be like you. They have equal rights as the Jews in the sight of God. Our gospel content must not be compromised or watered down, my friends. However, methods of reaching them should be contextualized. In other words, our concepts could change in a given context. You know, it has been many years I came into Living Hope. If I have to be the Apostle Paul and I want to score living hope, what will I do? I want to thank God for bringing me in and you accepted me. It was difficult for most of you because I had a heavy accent. But you adjusted yourself. You did not tolerate me, but you respected me. There were some that gave me some troubles, but the majority was giving me a cushion to land on. And that enabled my family to stay back. You see, I came from a Pentecostal background, as most of you know, in a Mennonite church. But you can see Brother Bernard from the Assemblies of God, Brother Sylvester from the Assemblies of God. They have stayed because you gave us a landing plot. You can see, I mean, look at him from my brother from Burundi. If you have not accepted us, do you think we will remain here? And then you had the Karen people. A couple and their children stayed here and they gradually were watching you. They noticed that you have somehow accepted them. You know, I still remember in those days, it's few Africans and Caucasians. Now, let us count. Can you see this? The number here is almost bigger than the number here. Because you have learned to treat people equal. I'm evaluating you now. You have accepted, you have adjusted. You've been patient enough with us. Some are still struggling with some of the things we do. When we bring our food, sometimes the order of the food alone. But you adjust yourself because you've discovered that man is man regardless of the color. Amen. You've discovered that God made you and us in the same way. We are all equal in the sight of God. And you know, I believe that when you brought in Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Jonathan was adjusting with his English, and you were able to accommodate him, and you say, you know, let us try this guy from Europe. And you brought all the way Pastor Thomas. And he began to speak in his own accent. And he was somebody that would not compromise his Pentecostalism. You know, Jonathan and I, we could adjust, but not Thomas. Not Thomas. And you were able to accommodate him. And you know, you did not give him a platform. For the all adults, you gave me a platform to change your young people. My God. You know, you took a big risk. But when you discovered that was happening, you brought up an African who had a heavier accent, older than the other ones, and longer in the ministry. And, you made something. You gave him not only cell group. You gave him children that he has never worked with before. It was difficult to work with those children. The Millers are not here today. Pat, where are you?
She's on a cruise.
They noticed the struggles are here. Some of the Millers. They noticed the struggles I was going through, and they decided to come alongside of me and took my shirt, took my pants, and they were covering up for me. Is that color? Is it Dorothy? Little did you know what you were doing. That we were learning from you, and you were learning from us. You were learning to balance things up, to contextualize, so that we can work together because we belong to the same kingdom.
Amen.
I score you good. But you've not arrived. So I'm not giving you an A. I'm going to give you a B minus. Because there are still some doctrinal issues that you're dealing with. Paul the Apostle had the same problems. He has the same problems with circumcision. He had the same problem with demon operations. How, what about personality clash? I could still remember sometimes we sit down in the pastoral, we're discussing as pastors, we can still, I still remember Pastor Lauren. We were, you know, he's a guy that is very, when he says this is what's going to be done, it's going to be done. And we'll look at Pastor Jonathan, I look at Thomas, and I, okay, Thomas will always, how do we balance up what Trump is suffering with today? How does he balance up a dictator with the Congress? How do we balance up with the leaders of the church? You know, sometimes pastors should have the whole say, not leaders making a say for us. You didn't know what we were struggling with. And I always, let us find a balance. Find a balance, because they are church leaders. They hired you. But you were able in all our struggles, to carry us through, and you walked with us. I don't think anyone that walked in this church will forget this church. Because Living Hope became a platform for majority of us to go through. And that's what you're reaping, the seed you sow. And I want to tell you, my dear brethren, the Karen people are not the end. Get ready to receive more people from outside this place. Get ready, because God is giving you something. But you know that Living Hope never ends here. Grant is a pastor somewhere else. I still think of Derek, who couldn't open his mouth. Remember telling Derek to pray, and Derek... No, Derek would not say anything. Not that he doesn't know what to say. Look at Derek walking with the young people today. Somehow, the church has created a platform. Please keep that door open. Keep that door open. Because Bless is a young man. I still see him in the next 5 years as a senior pastor somewhere. He might not be among the current people, but he might be in another multicultural setting. Keep the door open. Keep the door open. And when personal interest comes in, remember that Jesus Christ is the solution. Okay? These outward and inward changes did not deter Paul the Apostle. The call of God upon his life was paramount to him. Remember again, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Galatians 6:17 says, From now on, let no one cause me trouble. For I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, as I look into the life of the Apostle Paul, all I see is a man that God has captivated his whole being. There's nothing outside that attracts him. He said, I want to glory, not any other thing, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the care of the church consumes me. He abandoned everything. Everything. You might be the next on the line. You might be the next on the line. Paul says, for I am ready, being poured out like a drink offering. And the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. In all these things, I have kept the faith. In other words, doctrinal issues did not deter him. Personality clash did not deter him. The persecution that was coming around him did not deter him. Something I did not mention about this man, and I want to mention that, and as I begin to close. Was he a perfect man? No. Friends, you can have mistakes. You can have failures. But if the Spirit of Christ dwells inside of you, and you know how to commune with that Spirit, he will give you the strength to overcome. Because Paul the Apostle came to the place where he said, things I want to do, I don't do. I rather do those things that I don't want to do. But he said about himself, he said about his weakness. He cried out to God and said, remove this thing from me. Are you struggling with certain things in your life? They're becoming a problem for you. I want to tell you what the Lord says to Paul the Apostle. My grace is sufficient. Amen. My grace is sufficient. And he says in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Are you struggling with guilt of your past? Of the things you did yesterday you know was wrong? Jesus is still opening his hands. Listen, his hands are open. The pierced hands received your pains. The blood is still flowing that makes atonement. We sang it in the song. There is still the fountain that flows from Emmanuel's vein. That when sinners come and plunge into that fountain, you see the psalmist? Something about the psalmist. He was a man that, if I betrayed God, but he knew how to come and ask God to forgive him. And the Lord forgave him. Friends, don't leave here this morning with guilt. You can be changed. I want to end with these words. The Apostle Paul is an apostle to apostles, indeed a man of a mission. His transformed life was evidenced in his lifestyle, and his call was pragmatically evidenced in the souls brought into the kingdom of God. And the church is planted. My friends, his mission is still and should remain our mission. You know, next month, God willing, my daughter is getting married.
Amen.
But I'm going to Geneva to come back a week before the traditional marriage. Why are you going to Geneva? That was an opportunity to go to minister to people. Within the United Nations, we have ambassadors, we have governors, we have government officials from 40-something nations coming together, and this fellow here that looked very insignificant has been given a platform to talk, to give something that God has given to me. Would you pray with me? That God will give me the boldness to speak as he wants me to speak. His thirst to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering should consume us and remain our thirst. Oh, that we may be awakened by the flames of the fire of the Spirit that awakened Paul and fearlessly launched into the field of our Savior's harvest. Friends, the harvest is plenteous. There's still room for more laborers. Don't allow the things of this world to keep you behind. The Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ. If I have to die, it's the gain of heaven, but the gain of the church. A song that I used to know, and I wouldn't sing it for the time. It's a song that says about a servant that moved out. And he said, I would die at my post. I have a platform that God has provided me. I will not lay down my tools. I will not lay down my Bible until every knee comes to bow before Jesus Christ. A call upon my life that I've struggled with, but a call that is real in my life. The Apostle Paul, it's a big brother whose life I want to emulate as I emulate the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whose life will you want to emulate? Do you believe? What is your struggles? I want to pray for you. I want to pray. There might be someone here this morning that has reflected on life. You are struggling with something. You are fighting with sin. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ, but your life is in a shambles. Or you are struggling with the call of God upon your life. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. The Spirit of Christ is in the house. And it's the Spirit that will make things well with you. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. Reflect on what you have heard. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Please let us mean business now with the Lord. Because this might be the only opportunity you have. Is it a gospel of fear? No. It's a message of conviction. Are you running from the call of God? I want to pray with you. Are you struggling with your Christian life? I want to pray with you. Who is it that want me to pray for them now? Just wave. Just wave. Thank you. Amen. Please, all eyes. When calls like this are made, people have a way of opening their eyes. Let me see if somebody else is doing it. Maybe because you are convicted. Say, I'm an evangelist. So I know when people are convicted. Why not you join in these prayers right now? Don't go the same. Father, you saw the hands. But beside the hands, you saw the hearts that are weeping, that are aching, the hearts that are struggling, the ones that want a change, the ones that want a transforming, your transforming power to touch them. Spirit of the Almighty God, oh, move afresh. I beseech you, touch that man, touch that young woman, touch that young man, touch that one who the devil is saying you cannot be set free. As you touch them, oh God, I speak freedom. I speak deliverance. I speak transformation power over such one right now. Do something tangible, something tangible. Oh God, I pray. Let us be drawn closer to you. Father, in our imperfection, remain our perfect one. In our areas of struggle, be our strength. In our weaknesses, oh God, let your grace be poured in sufficiency to us. Lord, even as we leave here this morning, may we not leave your presence. Thank you for what you are doing right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I sit down in the quiet, these musicians take over. Listen, I want to say this to you. There are relationships that's going to be broken today. You're going to fail somebody today, that's all right. You rather fail that person than fail Jesus Christ. There are businesses that you're going to break ties from today. God will give you a balanced business. There are associates you're going to lose today. God will give you good associates. I assure you, something different has happened in somebody's life.